All right, man. Another one from the community today.
Yes, they're the best. I mean, these are the real issues, Pat, and glad to be able to tackle them with you.
And it's a great thing because I'm running out of ideas. So here we go.
Well, and we're both getting to that age where even if you have a good idea, you can't remember it 10 minutes later, right? So there you have it.
My desk is covered with post-it notes. But this is another one that I don't know why this happened. It happened last week as well, but the individual's name got cut off. So on our most recent show, I just said that, and I asked the person, hey, if this is your question, let us know in the comments. And they did, so that's cool. So same goes here. Here's Sweet. The question. In general, somebody's asking whether 6 30-minute sessions per week is better, or should they do 3 one-hour sessions per week? So both come out to the overall same period of time. 6 30 minutes versus 3 one-hour sessions. So here it is. For a little context, I wake up at 5 o'clock a.m. and train for 30 to 45 minutes 6 times a week before the rest of my family wakes up and the real circus begins. First of all, that hit me right in the feels, as they say right there. The circus does begin once everybody's up. I used to train in the afternoons and had as much time as I wanted. But since we've got our son, things obviously changed a little bit, and the afternoons are his and not my time, rightfully so. Is it better to stress the system more frequently for a bit shorter and less, or less frequently and longer? So this comparison assumes that the overall work for the week is the same, other than obviously if you do the 6 sessions, you'll get in, you know, a few more warm-ups. Hope this leads to a great pros and cons conversation, and I'm looking forward to hearing it. So 6 shorter sessions or 3 longer sessions a week for getting in, you know, maximal fitness?
Man, this is a great one because I think the practicality of it can't be overstated. And I think all of us at some point in our life are probably going to have to make a trade-off between something like this. You know, limited opportunities to train, you get it where you can. What do I do to maximize my results? I'll say first, and this is not meant to be wishy-washy, but I think either are totally appropriate for the average person looking to get and remain fit. I think you can make a lot of headway with either. So,
oh yeah, yeah, I agree.
So let's get that right out of the way initially. I don't think that you're going to be so bad off if you only could do one of those two options. So that right there needs to be stated. As far as what I think is going to be the superior approach, consistency, in my opinion, is always going to trump a little bit more long length of session. And that's true, in my opinion, for many, many different things. It's true for physical activity. It's true for learning a skill. It's true for nutrition. It's true for basically building a habit for anything that you hope to maintain and integrate into your daily life. So for that reason alone, I'm going to plant my flag in the 6 sessions at 30 minutes a day. And I've got some more specific things that I think I'd like to highlight, but we'll start there. You're not too bad off if you can only do one of those. Either is going to be great, but I'm going to give the edge to the more frequent training time, even at a reduced session time.
That's been my experience just with so many things in life, you know, and I use this example all the time, and I don't know if it's the best, but, you know, learning another language, which for the longest time, Spanish was a passion of mine as well, and I hope to get back to it one day. Who knows if that'll happen? But if I could do 10 minutes of Spanish a day or one 70-minute block a week, 10 minutes a day, that is the easiest choice in the world. And that same sort of mindset, this is what popped into my head when I saw this question as well, that the frequent touches, you know, for a shorter period of time, that's going to get my overall vote on that for that particular reason. And I'm assuming that this individual is a, you know, CrossFit enthusiast, general physical preparedness enthusiast. But I think that does matter. You know, if GPP is your thing, that even more sways me to the 6 30-minute sessions. If somebody said, hey, oh, by the way, like, I'm a strength athlete, powerlifter, it's just lifting. Well, then I would actually go to the 3 one-hour sessions. And I think 3 one-hour sessions of dedicated lifting work, that's going to be fantastic for you. GPP is your thing. The 6 30-minute ones is right off the bat. And again, I've got some more there as well. But that's what popped into my head.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with your assessment on a strength athlete also. You know, if that's the name of the game, then yeah, you're right. I think those short, those longer sessions, more spaced apart, would be an advantage. Yeah, I think also the context here of we have established that this person has a family, they have other responsibilities. And if we're still working under the assumption that they're looking to develop fitness, you know, general physical preparation, that frequency matters because it does start to build the muscle of habit and the muscle of resilience, even when the alarm goes off and you're like, oh, today, really? I don't want to do it. But if that's something that you've built up and that's the habit that you're in, you don't really think about it. You just go. You wake up at the alarm, you start doing your thing, and before you know it, you've warmed up and you're ready to go. It doesn't mean that you're always enthusiastic to get in and get it done, but it makes it a whole lot easier when you know that's just part of the daily routine. It's really difficult in my experience, and certainly for me personally, when I have something like a really early morning day one, and then I know I get a little bit of leniency day two, and then I'm back to a super early morning day three, that kind of back and forth is much harder to sustain. It's way easier for me to talk myself out of that early morning later in the week if I've oscillated my morning schedule. So for that reason alone, I think it's another strength knowing that this individual has to get up early to get it in to maintain that habit throughout the week.
Yeah, the one thing that popped into my mind as well is, even though my vote shy of a more nuanced discussion goes to the 6 30-minute sessions, is let's just say for a second that the 6 30-minute sessions we could scientifically prove that it was superior to the 3 1-hour, unquestionably so. That's super. And so if you can do it, great. But then that very important aspect needs to come in for each individual is, do you actually have a sense as an individual as to which one you'll actually stick with and will work in your life better when you analyze all the other things that you have to do? Like, are you going to have a greater shot sticking to like, hey, I know that if it's just 3 times a week, I know that each one's really important. That gives me 4 days where I can just not have to worry about working out, totally focused on family and life and work. And, you know, that's more than half the week. And so, yep, that's great. Whereas, hey, it's 6 days a week. They said that's the better schedule. That's going to be tough from every day for me to take a little bit of time away from the family. Like, hey, even if the 6x30 is the better one, which one will you actually stick with? And you know, I'm actually taking a bit from what you've said before, which is, what's the best strength and conditioning program for you? It's the one you'll actually do. And when I check back in with you 5 years later, you're still doing it. You know, that's the one. Consistency is so huge. So I would say that has to get factored in. But if in that factoring, you're like, actually, I'm good with either one, I'm still going with the 6x30.
Yeah, for sure. What's the saying that anytime you claim you should or shouldn't, you're basically grappling with reality? I mean, there's no such thing as should or shouldn't. It's what are you doing, you know, right now? Or what have you done? You got to stick to that. So yes, I am fully on board with exactly what you just said there. If you're not going to do it, it doesn't matter if it should be a better outcome. It won't be. And so it's not even worth the conversation. If you don't have that willingness to look in the mirror and say, okay, is this actually going to get done? You know, and I think that's one of the pitfalls that a lot of people fall into, both as an athlete, just pursuing this on their own, and as a coach. It's awesome to have interest in this and to kind of explore a bunch of different programs. I think so often, though, people get kind of caught in this lens of what is the best approach, what is the optimal, you know, like you said, purely scientifically validated way to get fitter and healthier. Like, well, number one, there's no agreed upon method that works 100% of the time. There's foundational principles, there's strategies that you can adopt. You know, there's kind of approaches that seem to work better for the circumstances that most people tend to face. But there's no universally agreed on method to get stronger, get healthier, get fitter, et cetera. And so that being said, you know, more often than not, people that have interest at some point can fall into this world where they're making these assumptions about what perfection could be, despite the fact that they're not willing to actually do those things in their day to day. And at that point, it's like, well, what are we talking about here?
Why bother? The enemy of the good.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So yeah, all that to say, I couldn't agree more. I think you have to take a good look and say, all right, what is going to fit in the bigger picture here?
I have one more solution to offer. That's great. My favorite solution, and it's not one that he or she offered here. But okay. I think this would be my recommendation. Okay, so this is option number three. So if we look at what they spoke about, the three 1 hour sessions, that comes out to 180 minutes, 3 hours. The six 30 minute sessions also comes out to 3 hours. So I'm getting the sense, you know, they can work out 3 times a week or 6 times a week. So it seems like that's my range, 3 to 6 times a week. And I've got 3 hours for you to slice up one way or another. I would slice it up a third way. I would do 5 sessions a week, 4 of them 30 minutes long, and 1 of them 1 hour long. That still comes out to 3 hours. So it's the exact same amount of time, and it's in between those 3 and 6. It's 5 sessions. For that 1 hour session each week, there's your heavy day. You don't have to shortchange it. You don't have to rush it. You can give it the respect that it deserves, and it will be phenomenal, a real warm-up. You can build up your warm-up sets in as long as it takes. You can hit your working sets with the 3 to 4 minutes rest between each. You can actually cool down and go home. You won't miss anything, even this hectic time in your life. Then you'll have 4 30-minute sessions a week for the more mixed modality GPP sessions of, you know, anywhere from a short sub-5-minute bomb to your 20-minute Cindy's and everything in between. You can get in 4 of those a week and a dedicated heavy day. And you've got 2 not-working-out days a week to be with the family and focus on some other stuff. If that's an opportunity for this individual, that would potentially get my strongest recommendation, even though it wasn't one of the options presented.
Yeah, I like that too. I also think that you could use that hour session, to your point, for dedicated strength work that should take a little bit longer, but also for sprinkling in some truly longer efforts from time to time as well. So, you know, to expand on that, which
everybody's chomping at the bit to run a 10K.
That's right, exactly. but I love that recommendation for the sense that, yeah, you can have that freedom to explore some things with that 1 hour session from time to time. So maybe it's a few weeks consistently of some strength training, and then every third or fourth week, maybe it's a dedicated, longer, grindy kind of effort that, you know, necessitates that time frame. So that's really cool too. The other thing that I wanted to add just on top of that was, you know, when we talk about frequency, you know, we kind of started the conversation highlighting the benefits of more regular application in most things. You know, if you're touching it more regularly, you're more likely to develop that skill versus longer intervals between with more time at those touch points. I think that's pretty universally accepted in a lot of ways. What I will say, though, is after a long period of consistency like that, it can be really helpful to step away for a prolonged period of time. And so we had a conversation recently about something like a back off week, or if you look at almost any sport, like there is an off season, and that off season, you know, not only does it give the athletes a little bit of a cool off period, but physiologically and psychologically, that allows for everything that you've done to that point to sort of gel a little bit and almost integrate a little bit better. And I've run across this term in the past. It's called the reminiscence effect, where they talk about athletes that were at the top of their particular field and they take some time away and then they get reintroduced into their sport. And, you know, people that are analyzing them often will remark that, I don't think they're going to come back as good as they could be. But to everybody's surprise, they come back and they exceed where they were previously, despite the fact that they were really, really good already. And the theory sometimes is that with that time away, it allows you to kind of integrate all of the learnings that you've done, all of the physicality that you've done. You're not thinking about it constantly. It starts to settle. And then when you come back, you can build on that new foundation. So all of that to say, I think there is some utility if you're going with this consistency route and you're doing that over a long period of time, constantly varied. Don't be afraid once in a while, maybe it's a couple months in, to say, all right, I'm going to flip the script and for a week or two, I'll do this less frequent, longer session approach, or maybe take a week off and then I get right back to it, because those breaks can be really invigorating for both the mind and the body.
I think that's interesting. I hadn't heard of that. I hadn't heard of that before. And I could see why some time away would be good for the mind, the body, and just figuring some stuff out and coming back with maybe a sharper focus, you know, in a particular endeavor it happened to be. I'm making some leaps here, but what I could maybe think of some people listening to this episode or watching it, hearing the discussion, and maybe some people initially went to the, I can't believe Pat and Buzz said that. What a couple knuckleheads. Like, it has to be the 3 1-hour sessions because, not to beat this drum again and get back in the soapbox, but it's a lot of folks out there living in the more is better world, right? Where that hour is filled with things that in their mind are non-negotiable. Every single day is the heavy lift before the Metcon, before the whatever. And like, and that takes a ton of time. And now you're going to tell me if I do a 30-minute session, I can't do all that. But my fitness is just going to poof, go away. So it has to be the 3 1-hour sessions. Hey, to each their own, right? I can only tell you what I have seen, observed, lived, heard, studied, blah, blah, blah. But I'm here to tell you, like, that hybrid approach that I said there, maybe a single 1 hour session a week and 4 30-minute sessions. For anyone thinking that those 30-minute sessions are not enough, I'm profoundly dedicated with my fitness, like almost to a bad degree. Like, I hate missing workouts, and whatever the workout of the day is, like, I program short, medium, and long. Like that's it, you know. And the overwhelming majority of the time, I am not in the garage an hour. Like, that's a rare day, and that's probably a heavy day is what it is. But on a normal mixed modality, a couplet, a triplet, an AMRAP, something like that, there's no way I'm in the garage an hour. Unless I'm dilly-dallying on my phone, like totally lost focus, or I decided to do some sort of like skills practice or whatnot. But if you're talking a meaningful workout, a well-thought-out, meaningful, intentional workout that fits like a puzzle piece with everything else that you're doing, you get in, you don't mess around, you do a great warm-up, you hit it, and you get out of there, I don't need an hour at all. Like, not even close to that, quite frankly. And so for anyone thinking that maybe that 30-minute session isn't going to be enough, I would challenge that assertion. And I would say it's plenty of time, other than a good dedicated strength day, it's plenty of time for the lion's share of mixed modality training you're going to want for general physical preparedness.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, this is something we bring up often, but when you have somebody who's really interested in doing more CrossFit because they like doing more CrossFit, you know, sooner or later, that person tends to fall into the mindset that I have to do more CrossFit. Mm-hmm. And the goal kind of subtly shifts to being able to train more so that I can train more. And it becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy in a way. I think for the average person, that's totally unnecessary. And I found in my own training that when I do go through periods of time like this is being described as, where it's shorter sessions but very regular, I feel that I don't need a ton of time, or at least as much time, to get warmed up than I would after several longer sessions that necessarily have higher volume and beat you down a little bit more. I typically, and you know, your mileage may vary, I typically feel better on shorter, more frequent sessions. And I find that I take less time to warm up and get in the groove when I'm going through a period of time that's what my training looks like. Mm-hmm. That may not be true for everybody, but I do think there's something to that, where if you have a short session, the nature of it isn't going to be so demanding and taxing on the body that you can't recover relatively quickly from it as well. It's not to say it's going to be an easy session. It's not to say that you can't absolutely get everything that you need out of a 20-minute blaster or even shorter.
Oh, sure.
However, because you're not, you know, kind of chasing around doing a bunch of accessory work, adding a bunch of volume and repetition to maybe the main course of what you're doing for the day, it is a little easier to recover from. And I think that's something, man, this is a whole tangent.
Oh,
people
let's go.
Talk about. Well, I just think it's so funny these days, you know, there's all this talk of quote unquote recovery work, and it usually entails doing more things. And to me, it's just such a crazy approach to say, I'm going to put more miles on the vehicle with the hopes that it doesn't wear out as quickly. It just doesn't make sense. But yet that seems to be a lot of people's approach, instead of quite simply taking a step back and saying, well, how about we do less so that I don't have as much to recover from? Mm-hmm. And with the recovery that I do have, I try to either maximize the time between sessions or maximize my sleep. You know, those are the factors that really matter. Not adding more things that, getting back to it, I quote, should do. So
yeah, for sure. And I think what also has to be said here, and I'm not sure if this is, you know, the mom or the dad that wrote in with this question here, but first of all, just good on you. Like, no matter which one you mm-hmm. choose, option A, option B, or my option C, which I'm obviously biased to, and because that is the one you should choose. The you know, good on you for thinking this through and mm-hmm. actively saying that I'm going to exert the discipline and effort to not be sedentary during what's obviously a very hectic time and stage in your life, when it would be, nobody would blame you for not working out because you have a wonderful excuse that's socially acceptable as to why your life was, hey, and I just let everything slide. And they're like, oh, don't worry, you got you. Get back on the horse when you can. And you're deciding to go against that grain, like whether it's the sixth session, whatever the session is, good on you. Like, you're already in the camp of winning as far as mm-hmm. I'm concerned, you know, having, and my daughter just turned two, so I'm not too far off from this as well. And it is a rugged time that does take some serious effort and discipline to make it happen. So good on you for doing it. No matter what choice you make, you know, try to control your diet as best you can, you know, keep it as clean as you can. You're still a human being. You'll have some treats. Get as much sleep as you can and find the workout schedule that works for you. And no matter what workout schedule you choose, my other unsolicited recommendation to you during this time frame would be, which we did discuss in an earlier episode, was just give yourself a ton of grace. Like, give mm-hmm. yourself a ton of grace during this. Your workouts are going to look different. Obviously, your schedule is going to look different. Things might be a bit rushed. You know, you may not want to chase old PRs. Like, just get into the gym, get into the garage with the thought of, I'm not trying to, you know, get on the top of the podium during this time in my life. This is maybe a maintenance phase. It's a mental stress release phase for everything else going on. I'm going to feel better. Even if I don't feel like walking into the garage, I'm going to feel so much better when I walk out. And when this phase of my life is over and things get a bit more regular, instead of starting from ground zero, you are going to have maintained a ton of fitness, and coming back will not feel anything like it will had you just decided to hang it up for 6 months.
Yeah, for sure. And starting with the assumption that this individual is committed to either one of these, it's like, I can do one or the other. I know I'm going to commit to one. I think your framing is absolutely on target in the sense that it's like, look, you're already ahead of 9/10 of the population by saying, I'm going to do one of these two. What can I do to optimize? I mean, that is one of those things that already puts you so far ahead of everybody else that, like you said, is willing to just sit and say, you know, it's a tough part of, you know, this season of life. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I can excuse myself from taking that responsibility. Yeah, that's the most important fundamental right there is, are you willing to put the work in? And it sounds like the answer is yes. So congrats to that. That's a good thing.
Yeah. And I think that's all I got on the topic. That's my honest feedback on it.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I guess my closing thought would be that this is one more thing that if you're looking at the long view of trying to remain healthy and fit over the course of your lifetime, you know, you're out of that kind of maybe early 20s. I just want to see how far I can push myself. But you started to get enough kind of seasonedness underneath mm-hmm. your belt that you got that long view. This is one more of those things that you can start to take notes on and use as a reference later on. So regardless of how you land, pick one of these approaches, stick with it for a period of time, and note down not just your workout results, because, you know, that's what you're going to do anyway, but take a step back and ask yourself, how do I feel when I get up to do these sessions? Is it something that I feel is something I can maintain? It's easy to do. Is it a struggle to do this all the time? You know, how am I feeling after the session? How am I feeling the next morning when I got to get up? All of these kind of more nuanced elements that are less objective, they do paint a picture. And when you have gotten this phase out of the way and it comes time to make a decision about training in the future, it's always nice to kind of have that as a reference and say, all right, man, remember that 6 months period where I did every day at 5 a.m. for 6 days. I felt so great during that training part protocol. Maybe I should return to that. Or conversely, you're going to look at it and you're like, man, it was a great idea at the time. I'm glad I did it because it kept me consistent, but God, it almost killed me.
Right.
Maybe there's something there. So regardless of your choice, take stock of how it affects you personally, and then use that to make an informed decision the next time a life event changes the way that you have to approach your training.
Well, you know, like I said, I think on the last show that we recorded, if this is your question, please let us know in the comments below. You know, we'd love to let the author be known. It's a fantastic question. I think it's very relatable to a ton of people that are either in this phase or, you know, about to be in this phase. It's good. So good luck to you. No matter which schedule you choose, you're on the right path, 100%. So as I say at the end of all these shows, appreciate all of you. This is as much of everybody else's show as it is myself or Adrian's, you know, so we love to hear from everybody. Send us your questions, you know, email them to BTWB, hit somebody up on social media, go to the BTWB YouTube page, find this show, post your thoughts on this topic or, you know, questions or content that you have for a future show. We check all that stuff out and helps drive the program. If you'd like to help support the show, in those show notes on this show and of the YouTube channel, check out all the VNR cycles from body weight things to barbell to on-ramp programs, the whole nine yards. I think you'll find them very additive to your fitness journey. And for Adrian Bosman, I'm Pat Sherwood, and we'll see you next time.